I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. This Friday marks the 100th anniversary of one of the worst workplace disasters in American history. It was on March 25, 1911. 146 garment workers died when a fire broke out at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory in New York City. Most of the victims were young immigrant women, Italians and Jews from Eastern Europe. What happened at the Triangle Factory was so horrific that it spurred a reform movement for workers' rights. The World's Jason Margolis looks at the legacy of the Triangle Fire on the garment industry today.
Turn back the clock on New York City's garment district to around the year 1900.
The average work week was 84 hours, 12 hours every day of the week.
That's historian Ellen Rothman with the Jewish Women's Archive in Brookline, Massachusetts. She says conditions had begun to improve by 1911, but just slightly.
It was said, someone wrote, that during the busy seasons, the grinding hum of sewing machines never entirely ceased on the Lower East Side, day or night.
Garment factories were crowded, noisy, and hot. Bathroom breaks were monitored. Workers had their bags inspected when they left for the day. When fire broke out at the Triangle Factory, the exits were locked to prevent theft.
In trying to escape, I mean, there was no choice. Your choice was be burned alive or jumping. And most of them jumped. And everyone who jumped died.
The Triangle Fire galvanized the labor movement. Within 2 years, New York State passed more than 30 labor laws. Federal regulations followed in the 1930s. For decades after, New York City's garment district thrived. In 1948, 354,000 people worked in the garment industry there. Today, there are only about 17,000. About 20 people are sewing and cutting fabrics for dresses and blouses at the Nicole Miller factory in Manhattan. Like a century ago, almost all of the workers are immigrants. Jews and Italians have been replaced by Asians and Latinos. Tony Persaud is from Guyana.
When it comes to the working condition, I would say it's good.
The factory is well lit, clean, and ventilated. Persaud works as a cutter. He's in a union. He earns $35,000 a year plus benefits. He came to New York in the 1980s.
It was very easy to get a job then. You could leave a job in the morning, go down in the second floor and get a job.
But garment jobs have been shifting to lower-cost operations in Mexico, the Caribbean, and Asia. And so have dangerous working conditions, says Robert Ross at Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Effectively, what we have done is exported our sweatshops and exported our factory fires. And it's as if the 1911 conditions had been lifted up by an evil hand and dropped into Bangladesh.
Garment factory fires are common in Bangladesh. Just last December, a fire killed at least 26 people in a factory there.
And the pattern is disturbingly uniform. The shops are often in high-rise buildings, just like the Triangle. The pattern is that an electrical fire starts, and then, without adequate or any fire escapes, without sprinkler systems, the workers surge to get out. And in factory after factory, the newspapers report locked gates and locked doors. It's a horrific duplication of what we earlier experienced.
The question is, why does this keep happening? Labor laws exist, both international and country-specific rules. But Hee-Won Brindle Kim with the Fair Labor Association says laws are often ignored in places like Bangladesh and China. We spoke in New York, not far from the garment district.
It's cheaper for many factory owners to not abide by the law because it costs them money. And in terms of the enforcement of the law, there just isn't enough inspectors to go to each and every factory in China to ensure that labor rights are being enforced.
Most American clothing companies are completely removed from the manufacturing process. They often don't know what goes on in their overseas factories, or they choose not to investigate. Still, part of the blame for unsafe working conditions in garment factories also lies with American consumers, argues Robert Ross.
The average American has 8 pair of jeans.
He says Americans continue to spend less and less money on clothes while buying more and more stuff.
People should buy better, fewer and better clothes. That would be good for garment workers.
But that's not something consumers want to hear. Still, 100 years after the Triangle Fire, Labor organizers, activists, and social researchers want to remind people that there's a worker behind the cheap clothes we buy. And in many parts of the world, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire isn't just an anniversary marking a bygone era. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.
We have more on the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, including a video of a former New York State senator remembering his grandmother and two aunts who were among the victims. That's at theworld.org.